You know, just a few weeks ago, we had a service where there was a lot of words of knowledge healed, and some of those were about healing. There was a bunch of people that got filled with the Holy Spirit that Sunday. That was pretty incredible as well. But Jack, put you on the spot here for just a moment. Would you come down real quick, Jack? Jack was sharing with me a couple of weeks ago. I just got to set this up because how many of you sometimes have just a little bit of the spiritual gift of skepticism? Anybody ever had the spiritual gift of skepticism? Hey, listen, the Bible says try the spirits. In other words, you need to judge things, right? You need to prove out some things. So everything that you see or everything that you hear, you know, the Bible says that Satan can deceive us, you know, becoming like even like an angel of light. So we gotta know what we're doing. And I was sharing with this, just hang on. You're in the right place. Just hang on. I was sharing this in the prayer time that we had this past Wednesday night because I want to see a move of God at Spirit Life Church. That was kind of weak, but, you know, I'll give you a chance to do that over. You get to do it. Here's your mulligan, okay? I'm believing for a real move of the Spirit of God here at Spirit Life Church. Yeah. Now that's more like it right there. And I'm not just believing it for Spirit Life Church. I'm believing it for our city. I'm believing it just for revival to just sweep through the other churches. But I'm talking about a real move of God. I'm not talking about man kind of juicing things up, man trying to manipulate stuff. And sometimes you just kind of wonder, now, was that real or was that God or was that just man in the flesh kind of stuff? You know, I don't know. And so sometimes how many got healed? Hands go up, and you're like, yeah, I know. You just got a dose of adrenaline. You know, I'm being honest with you, okay? Because I want the real thing. I don't want people to just feel a dose of adrenaline. I don't want them to just be caught up in something that feels good, and their body's just pumping all kinds of whatever, endorphins and adrenaline and whatever, and their body goes numb, and they don't know that, you know, that they haven't been healed. You just don't feel it right now. But you get home and you go, man, that pain is still right there, right? And you go, what happened? Listen, I'm talking about the real deal. I want to see the real deal. When Jack told me what the Lord had done for him that Sunday, I was like, come on, man, you got to share that with the rest of our congregation.
Thank you, Pastor. Wow. I have
hold the mic up a little closer because I want them to hear this.
I have lived for decades with pain in my upper back, and I was one of those people that had just learned to live with it, okay? And my wife and I, Cindy, were looking for a church, and three Sundays ago, we came here for the first time, and we're still here.
Amen. Yeah.
We were at both services, and the 11 o'clock service, the Spirit of God began to move, and the gifts of the Spirit were in operation. There was a tongue interpretation, there was a gift of prophecy, and Brother Caleb got up, and a word of knowledge started operating in him. And part of that word of knowledge said, there's somebody here that has pain in your upper back. Now, what happens next happened in a split second. This was a nanosecond. My head, which is a nice way of saying my flesh, says, don't make waves, Jack. Don't call attention to yourself. Just sit here and be quiet, okay? But my spirit rose up in rebellion and said, Jack, don't be a fool. You just heard from the Holy Ghost. Reach out by faith. So I did, and I give it one of these numbers. My wife laid her hands on me, and Sister Cheryl, which is sitting, I didn't know Cheryl's name at the time, and they laid hands on me. And let me just say this real quick. I really appreciate the ministry the body ministry.
Amen.
In this church.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How it's done decently and in order according to the scripture. And
yeah.
There is this flow of not just the spirit, but love and compassion and concern. People wants to see other people's needs met. That's what gets it going. So anyway, I'm like this. They've got their hands on me. They prayed the prayer of faith. And just like the scripture said, he raised me up. I have spent 3 weeks pain-free.
Hallelujah!
And I give God the glory.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, y'all. Adrenaline don't last for 3 weeks. But the power of God can last the rest of his life. Amen. And your life as well. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, last Sunday, and I got to jump into this word. I'm going to try to get it quick because we got some good stuff to say today. Last Sunday, we kicked off a new sermon series. If you were here, you remember, we talked about what made the New Testament church grow. And, of course, some of it is what we're looking at right now, what's going on in our church, which is why we just need to be reminded of it. And I share with you that there was a Roman historian who was not a Christian, but he had been watching the growth of this church, these people, these Jesus lovers. What is it about them that makes them so different? And he finally concluded there are 5 things about them that I believe that made them grow, and I want to share them again with you. Number one, they were flaming messengers and tireless workers, and we talked about that last week. They were on fire. I love saying it like that. On fire. Come on, say fire with me like that. They were on fire. They were on fire with God. And they had to tell other people about Jesus. They were flaming messengers, tireless workers. Number two, their belief in the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in the future life gave them hope. They knew who Jesus was. They knew he died on the cross. But they also knew that he rose from the dead. And that put something inside of them to believe for whatever they needed that was dead in their lives, that it could come back to life again. Their fellowship made them strong and attractive. Man, I just love what he talked about when Jack just said, you know, we love the way that people just pray for one another because we care about one another. We want it. That was going on in the early church. They really cared for one another. The purity of their lives, number four, was a validation of their witness of Jesus Christ. They didn't just come to church and shout and dance and then go live like the rest of the world the rest of the week. They had some integrity in their life. They walked it out. They lived it out. Their life was a shining light of Jesus Christ. And number five, the evidence of power within the church made them a place for desperate people to come. There were signs, there was wonders, there were miracles. People were being healed. People were being raised from the dead. And people with problems in their life says, man, I want to be in the midst of that because maybe that can touch my life. That's what was going on in the New Testament church then. And I believe that that's what God still wants to do for us today. Amen. Now, Luke writes about, basically he says the same thing. He gives this description of the early church in Acts chapter 2. And I want to go back and read it again with you. We looked at it last week. I want us to be reminded again. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 42. They devoted themselves, this is the early Christian church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together. They had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day. Somebody say every day.
Every.
Not just on Sunday.
Every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those that were being saved. So last week we talked about the first key, which was mobilization, that they were passionate about reaching the lost. And I shared with you a vision for Spirit Life Church that I really believe that the Lord has put this in my heart. You know, sometimes preachers just preach. Come on, there's a few preachers out here. You know what I'm talking about. And sometimes we just preach, but then sometimes the Lord really puts something in our heart. Sometimes, I mean, this is like and I really feel that this has the weight of the word of the Lord for our house. This is something that I want us to learn how to say as good as we can say that we're not just a, come on, say it with me, we're not just a church in our community, we're a church for our community, that we're a place to begin, a place to become, a place to belong. See, those are some things that we already know about Spirit Life Church. I want us to get to the place where this is in our heart, but where we can say that a vision for our church is that we will be a church that is so effective at reaching the lost and then discipling the reached that our church will grow to the point where we can plant new churches who will reach the lost and disciple the reached. Man, you were doing so good earlier with your amen, and you're really doing good. Can you get on board with that with me? Now listen, it's one thing to put it in writing, it's one thing to put it on the screen. Listen, that's not going to happen just because Pastor Tommy put it in writing and said it one or two times. That's only going to happen if we become serious about what I want to talk about this morning, which is the second thing that we need to do, and that is discipleship. It's one thing to have the energy. It's one thing to have the mobilization that we talked about last week, the passion that we talked about evangelism. But it's not enough. That statement was not just about reaching the lost, but it was about then discipling the reached. So once we get them in, then we need to get them ready. We need to prepare them. We need to develop those converts and see them transformed. And so that's our key word today. Last word, the key word was mobilization. Today, the key word is transformation. We want to see them transformed to really become disciples, not just converts. That early church believed in something. It said that they believed in the message of Jesus Christ. They believed in the resurrection. They believed that Jesus really was the Son of God. That they believed that he really could heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons. That they believed that he died on a cross for their sins. But they also believed that he rose again on the third day, and that gave us the power to have everlasting life, and that anything is possible. I mean, if you can be raised from the dead, pretty much anything else becomes possible. So they believe that. Now, listen, I want to just tell you, they had their challenges to their faith as well. There were those who laughed and mocked. There were those who said, "You really believe that? You really believe Jesus died on a cross? We saw him crucified, fine. But you really believe he rose from the dead? Come on, didn't you hear?" I mean, they ran the report on all the major news channels. I won't name any major news channels today. But they ran the report on all the major news channels. The government officials stood up and they told us, come on, don't y'all believe everything that the government officials? No, I'm getting off target here. But they told us that they had stolen the body of Jesus away during the middle of the night. Come on, you can't really believe that he's resurrected from that. There were challenges to their faith, but they knew what they believed. And they believed what they knew. And when I say believed what they knew, I'm talking about it was a belief that was so deep inside them. It wasn't just head knowledge. It wasn't just some fluff that they had heard. It wasn't just, well, I heard 3 points of the pastor's sermon and it sounded good to me. No, it was like, I heard it, I know it, I believe it, I've studied it, I've internalized it, and now it is what motivates me. It's what has transformed my life into a real follower of Jesus. They knew what they believed about the resurrection of Jesus. They knew what they believed about faith, about overcoming temptation, about spiritual warfare, about the authority that we have as believers. I mean, just go right on down the line to the things that we need to know and understand. They knew those things. And sadly today, I think that sometimes we got Christians that are mile wide and about a half an inch deep. Sometimes we got churches that are a mile wide and a half an inch deep. You know, it's all the nice stuff, but we're not really getting deep. We're not getting rooted. And when you see a falling away, when you see people who once proclaimed their relationship with Jesus and now they're not in church, they're not claiming to be a Christian anymore. Sometimes we see it when kids that have been in our church all their life grew up in the church and then they get off to college and, And all of a sudden, their faith gets really challenged by professors who try to say you're an idiot if you believe that kind of stuff. And they get rocked because they just don't have that real foundation. I mean, they went to church. They did all the stuff you're supposed to do at church, but somehow they didn't really become disciples. Sometimes we see that with family members, maybe that you knew, and you're like, man, I saw them all their life. They always went to church. Man, I thought they were a good Christian, and now they're off joining some crazy cult somewhere. Like, what in the world happened? You know, they left church. What in the world happened? Something right. They never really got that internalization of the truths of God's word until they became disciples. But it says in verse 42 about this early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, to prayer. There were some things that they devoted themselves to. The apostles' teaching, who is God, who is Jesus, who's the Holy Spirit, what do they expect out of us? They were all about communion, the breaking of bread. And the breaking of bread, I think breaking of bread is twofold here. They broke some real bread together. They were eating Subway sandwiches together. Whatever it was, they were breaking some bread together. But then there was this. When you say breaking bread, you can't help but go to the upper room, right? You can't help but think about communion, where Jesus broke the bread and he gave it to the disciples. And so when they broke bread in the communion, and then every time they would. This is what this means. This is the broken body of Jesus. By his stripes we're healed. And this is the blood of Jesus. And by the blood, we've been washed in the blood and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And they would, they used every opportunity that they had to just infuse these truths into one another, to grow one another, to teach one another. The communion really even moves into worship. They committed themselves to prayer, it says. This relationship with Jesus, walking and talking with Jesus, looking to Jesus for the answers to life. And so here at Spirit Life Church, we believe all of that. And we just said it just a few minutes ago. We said it early in the service. We say it all the time. We're a place to begin. We're a place to become. We're a place to belong. And so when I talked last week about evangelism, I'm talking about a place to begin. Next week, we're going to talk about the fellowship that they had. We're going to talk about a place to belong. But between beginning and belonging, there's this becoming, and just being honest. Sometimes we, as a staff, we recognize that we're responsible for you. I don't know if you realize that or not. And Paul talks about the weight of the churches that was on him. He talks about the teachers and the responsibility that comes with teaching others. And there's a responsibility that we as a staff have been given to care for your souls. And we want to see you grow and develop and mature and become everything that Christ wants you to be. We can't do that by ourselves, but we want to create every opportunity that if you want it, it's going to happen. You'll get a chance to plug in. And so we really want to work on this discipleship level. And through the years, I mean, there are times when probably done discipleship better than at others, and sometimes maybe not as good, and you're always trying to find what's going to work. And so we've really been just kind of launching into this and trying to figure out what is a disciple, what does a discipleship look like, but more importantly, how do you make disciples? How do you really make disciples? And I'm just going to, just for sake of time, I want to touch a couple things real quick, and then I'm going to really give you a new thing that we're going to be starting. So number one, what does a disciple look like? And if you look in Acts really quickly, verse 42, it says that they devoted themselves to the apostles. They were committed. A real disciple is committed. They were committed to a lifestyle of following Jesus. It wasn't if it's convenient, I'll follow Jesus. It wasn't, well, if the sun's shining, I'll follow Jesus. It wasn't, well, if there's money in my pocket, I'll follow Jesus. It wasn't, well, if I've healed, I'll follow Jesus. It wasn't, well, if all of my friends are following Jesus, then I'll follow Jesus. It was, they were committed. They were devoted to this thing. A real disciple of Jesus is committed. Number two, there was a commitment to the Word of God. They were committed to the teaching of the apostles, the word of God. What does Jesus say? They wanted to know that so that they could. But listen, can I just tell you? You can quote the whole Bible, but if you're not doing it, quoting it ain't doing you a whole lot of good. That's just the truth. James puts it this way in James chapter 1 verse 22. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves." How many of you want to deceive yourself? No, we don't want to deceive ourselves. So don't just listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. That is where it really matters, that we're doing it. So we're devoted to the word of God. We're studying it. We're getting it into our spirit so that the Holy Spirit can bring it back to our attention when we need it. And then we can do what it says. And then thirdly, they had a commitment to community. If you just kind of look at it, there was a commitment to community, to the other believers. They cared about one another. They took care of one another. And I'm not going to spend any time there because we're going to deal all next week with that. But here's the real question. How do we make disciples? And we make disciples by doing life together. By doing life together. I'm really convinced. We're going to talk about some classroom kind of a scenario here in a moment. But you're going to hear me make it a real clear distinction that it's not just about a classroom where you have a teacher that stands up and tells you some things that we need to know. Actually, there needs to be context and content. Context and content. A context for discipleship, that's the where the stuff happens. And the content is what is the stuff that I need to know. And we need to have that. And sometimes we kind of lean, it's kind of like this pendulum, you know. Sometimes we kind of lean more on this, you know, where, well, if we're going to be disciples, we just need to have this context. We just need to be together. We just need to be friends and hang out and have fun. And listen, I'm going to tell you, there's some value to that. There is a lot of value to context. We're not throwing context out. We need that. We need to be with one another, in relationship with another, helping one another, growing one another. How many of you think you're a better Christian today because you've rubbed elbows with somebody that was a better Christian? Yeah, all of us. Anybody who's really going to be honest, you didn't get to where you are today because you just figured it out all by yourself. No, you had some people in your life that cared about you, that poured into you, that mentored you, that loved you. Listen, I'm telling you, new Christians, they need that in their lives. Those of you who are Mormon Christians, you need to be putting yourself out there. Where's my opportunity that I can pour into somebody else's life and be a mentor and a help and an aid? That's the context. That's the family. We're a family. We talk about the forever family at Spirit Life Church. That's the family environment. That's the context in which this happens, in a context of love, in a context of relationship, in a context of supporting one another and caring about one another and taking care of one another and getting excited when we see something good happening to the next person. That's the context of discipleship, and we need that, but then we also need the content of discipleship. Because if all we're doing is getting together and having a good time, we're just a social club, folks. You know, because guys get together and play golf, and they, you know, they share life, and they have fun, and what have you, but they're not learning about how to be a better, more devoted follower of Jesus Christ while they're doing that. Their content is totally aimed in a different direction, and so we need to have context, family, relationships, being together, small groups, Sunday school classes, coming together at church, celebrate recovery, whatever the context where it can happen, just friends getting together after church and having a cup of coffee or whatever it might look like, context, but then we need some content as well. And sometimes we've kind of hit a hit and a miss here. Somebody some time ago asked me, you know, what my preaching style is. And just being honest, my preaching style, you know, I'm not an expository preacher that starts at chapter 1, verse 1, and works my way all the way through that book of the Bible. That's not my style. I'm more of a topical preacher. I hit topics that I feel like the Lord's stirring in my heart. I feel like it's something that we need to talk about at the time, and so I deal with that topic. And so I'm grabbing scripture from all over the now. I use a lot of scripture. Can anybody say amen? I use a lot of scripture in my sermons. I want you to get some meat in there, but it's not necessarily some systematic, here's you know, point A, point B, point C, point D, and we keep on moving for the next 30 years growing in the Lord. I'm not that kind of, but there needs to be something like that in our lives that identifies, here's the starting point, because listen, babes in Christ need something different than a mature Christian needs. You know, it's natural, and Paul uses that natural example to talk about how his babes are still drinking the milk, and babes need the milk. I mean, they do. You give them a T-bone steak, they ain't got no teeth, you know. They don't have the ability to digest that. They need the milk. That's what they need at that point. But there comes a point where Paul says, now you who ought to be teachers, in other words, you ought to be mature. You ought to be eating some steak and learning how to cook it and serve it to some others. You're still sucking on the bottle. Well, he says, you're still drinking milk. So there's this flow, there's this growth, and we need to have a place for that. And so here's where I'm excited to share with you a new initiative that we're starting here at Spirit Life Church in just a couple more weeks that we're calling Spirit Life Institute. It's really a step-by-step how to start from the beginning point, learn who we are in Christ Jesus and what his plan for our life is and how we can get plugged in, ultimately to the point that we are walking in those gifts and utilizing those gifts and finding the joy that comes where we're serving God the way he designed us to serve him. And so that Spirit Life Institute, yeah, you're hearing about it for the very first time today. So congratulations, you're here. I want you to watch a video that's going to talk about it, and then I'm going to ask Caleb, and he's going to come up and just fill in a couple of blanks, and then we're going to be out of here. So don't go anywhere. This is going to be good.
As followers of Christ, it is our divine responsibility to cling to the teachings of Jesus. These words are the foundation on which the church was built. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he spoke what we today call the Great Commission. So here's my question: the Great Commission, suggestion, or commandment? The truth is, over the years, Christ's followers have made it a suggestion when the original intent wasn't just a commandment, but it was possibly one of the most important commandments of all. The disciples took his message and used it to transform their world, just as we are called to carry out this commission and transform our world. American Christianity needs a spiritual renewal. We need to get back to being passionate disciples, making passionate disciples like those who built the New Testament church. We as a church have a lot to be proud of, but we cannot find ourselves so content that we lose sight of the importance of this commission. If you want to be all in on fulfilling this calling and truly living out your God-given destiny, then join us at Spirit Life Institute.
That's pretty intense. Can you hear me? That's pretty intense. I love it. All right, here we go, guys. I'm just going to give you a little quick, some information that you can kind of take note in your mind about, okay? One, if it always starts off with our mission. What is our mission for this? And that is to equip all seeking to become healthy, spiritually mature disciples of Christ, activated in their God-given gifts and their purpose. I like to, three markers, I think, of a complete Christian, or that one is, that's maturing anyways, is they are biblically literate, meaning that they know the Bible. So look at your neighbor and say, know your Bible. There it is. And then you're spiritually mature, your character is developing, and you're missionally active. You are doing what Christ has called us to do. And so when we see that, that's when we see that we're really maturing. So we want to give a launch pad for that. What does it look like? So we'll offer four growth phases, is what we're calling it. It's about 12 weeks each, and it will have a small break in between, and it's to just present the relevant teachings to really mentor. I like to say mentorship, but it's really to mentor and help you to be equipped and encouraged and empowered in who Christ has called you to be and your new life in Jesus. Amen. All right. So who is this for, right? This is for those that are wanting to learn more I like to say, what is up with this Jesus thing, right? What do you guys really believe? And maybe you're on a discovery right now, and you're just wanting to know more before you say yes or no or maybe or whatever. This is for you. This is for you. Two, you've just dedicated your life to Christ, or you've just rededicated your life to Jesus. There's many of us, even in the last 3 months in this service, that have dedicated their lives to, or rededicated their lives to Jesus. There is help for you in knowing how to follow him, learning to follow him. So this is for you. Three, you may be a disciple, but you're seeking to be more equipped on how to make disciples. You have the context right. You can make a mean steak, right? You can have the dinner. You can do the coffee and the face-to-face, but you're really needing some help with the content of discipleship. What do I actually say? Right? Not just talk about our lives. This is for you. This will help you. And lastly, it's those that are mature disciples of Christ and are interested in joining the teaching team or the mentoring team. If you're like, hey, I can see myself, I Pastor Tom, I already know everything that you're gonna teach on that. I've been a disciple all my life, you know, and you are willing to mentor those that are coming up and also join and teach some of the content we want. This is for you as well to come and join us. So our launch date is right after Easter. Somebody say right after Easter.
Right after Easter.
And so April 20th on Wednesdays. Okay, times will be up close. Where will it be? This is my favorite one. I don't know why. It's going to be in our Family Life Center, right where you drop your kids off. But I would like to call it, we like to call it our new Apostolic Training Center. Because somebody caught it. They catch the vision, right? If we're going to be a church effective at reaching the lost and discipling the reach, and then planting churches that reach the lost and disciple the reach, guess what? That means there's some giftings, there's some teachers, there's some pastors, there's some apostles, there's some prophets that the Lord's going to raise up. There's some evangelists, that the missionaries that the Lord's raising up within our community, and we want to have a space for that to actually be nurtured. It's going to be right over there in our new Apostolic Center, Training Center. And then why? Last thing. We believe God's on the move. Amen. Okay, let's try it one more time. See, Pastor Tommy, you said it. We believe God's on the move.
Amen.
Right? And that there's going to be a great multitude of people that are coming and joining this spiritual family. And I grew up in a house of six, so I'm one of five, or one of six, actually. And so we all had a part to play. Every family member has a part to play. You have a gifting. You have a grace. You are needed in the spiritual family. We're not just enrolling people in a membership here. We're adopting them in our family, right? And so we want you to be equipped and ready and to go, all right? Amen and amen.
High five. Yeah. So what we want to do is we want to connect content with context. And so we're going to give the content. We're going to make sure that people have the information that they need. But here's where we need some of you who are really spiritual. Some of you are thinking, I got other stuff that I do on Wednesday nights. I'm not really all that interested. I'm already a disciple. I don't really need it. It's not about I. It's about us. And it's about how can you use your gift? How can you connect? You know, sometimes we've talked about it. We've got the two services, the 9 a.m. and the 11 a.m., and it's kind of like, man, it would be really great if we had a way that we could all come together in one place, and some of the wisdom and the maturity of some of those 9 a.m. folks could be passed down to some of the younger ones of us. And some of you in here, you're not quite so younger, but I'll include you in that. The younger ones of us in here, what would be a context for that to happen, a place to connect? This is that kind of an opportunity. I'm excited about that, and I believe that it's really like the first step. You know, it's kind of like, how many of you, the Lord didn't show you everything when he first got you started? He just showed you enough to trick you into believing that you could do that much, and then once he got you that far, then he kind of, oh, by the way, there's a little bit more. You know, I don't even know what God's tricking us into. Now, God doesn't trick us into anything. I don't know where God's leading us fully. But I believe that it's got tremendous potential for us to be the kind of place here that's reaching this community, that's really loving on people. We're growing and maturing and getting outside of ourselves and getting into the kingdom work and really transformation, being a part of what God wants to do in this city, that we're going to be equipped and ready for that. And I'm just excited about it. Would you stand with me? We've got to be mobilized to evangelize, but we've got to be determined to disciple. And we're determined here to really make disciples, not just to reach converts. So, Father, Lord, I just thank you for that. Lord, I don't know how your Holy Spirit has spoken this into the different hearts, because, Lord, there's just all kinds of categories of us in this room. There's some folks that maybe they're here and don't even really know this Jesus yet. Just trying to figure it out. And they need to know more. There's some folks that they made the decision to follow Jesus, but man, they're just babes in Christ. And that's okay because they've just gotten started. Nobody expects them to be anything different. But we want to help them to grow. Maybe there's some that they've been in the church for a while. And they're at different places of maturity. And some of them they're flourishing and some of them they're struggling. Maybe this will help them. Some are just saints, solid saints. Love Jesus, got so much to give, but maybe not really sure how or where they can do that. And I believe that there's an opportunity for all of us in this. The bottom line is, this isn't about promoting Spirit Life Institute. It's about promoting the name of Jesus Christ. It's really about developing followers of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to be Jesus followers. Jesus followers. Lord, going where you would ask us to go, doing what you would ask us to do, faithfully following Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, with heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if maybe there's somebody here today that this possibility that your life could be transformed, that you could experience a real transformation, you need that because you know your life isn't where it needs to be. You've not surrendered your life to Jesus yet. And you hear about this Jesus that does miracles and signs and wonders and healing. You've heard testimonies. It's not just something we read about in the Bible that happened thousands of years ago. You heard a man this morning right here in front of you share how God has just done that in his life. And you need a Jesus like that who could transform your life. Maybe you saw some of the people earlier in the service as they came up to this altar and they had family that gathered around them and prayed for them because there was something in their life that was hurting and broken and they needed help. And you're like, man, I'd love to be a part of a family like that. People that cared about me, loved me. If serving Jesus is what I need to do, then I want to serve Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're here today and you know that you need to be born again, that's the next spiritual step that you need to take. Your next step is giving your life to Jesus. Would you raise your hand because I want to pray with you. Who's in this room today that you need to give your life to Jesus and surrender your life to him? Anyone? Anyone this morning? Anyone this morning? I don't see any hands lifted. I hope that what that means that everybody here today is a born-again follower of Jesus Christ. How many of you could say, I want to be a better disciple? Would you raise your hand? I want to be a better disciple. No matter how mature you may feel, it's like, but I think there's still some room for growth. I want more opportunity. I'd love to engage in something like Spirit Life Institute where I can pour into other people's lives and help them. I think there's a lot of people in this room that would say that. Did y'all come because you want to receive Jesus into your life? Is that why you're here? Oh, something to share. Okay. Here we go. Let's just see what we're going to hear here. This is Bailey.
Oh,
first time coming to church here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
What would you like to say, Bailey?
I never say about Holy Ghost. Pony, you are good, but this church, because I believe God, he knows people have own tents. The Holy Ghost, no sick and die, no pain. You're back here in the God. And then now, I'm good past you. You are. You're pointing you and mine. Now, I don't believe me, more. God is good and powerful. And now, no pain. You're back in the hill, your feet. And then God is praise of God.
Amen.
It's crazy what it took. God is my father, is my father. You guys are, you guys are. It's good for all your heart. And people have taken not feeling nothing. I can't move my legs because I'm Holy Ghost and he my legs. And God is present inside your own kids. Sacrifice you are great, nice women and Christians. And that for me, I feel God present. I'm well dancing, but God, I'm healed. Because I'm born like this. Born your own God is good for you. I love you because I'm here with us. I born my own heart. And the man we're here, I saw you, my mom, it's Monica. And I wish you, thank you, help me. Like, I'm walking on my, I'm here in God. Thank you. Who am I? Again, I think you what? Clap your joy. I came back. And a nice man is, my mom has nice me all the time because I had bad cramp ahead because my tummy hurt a lot. I can't hold it tight because people praying for me. I'm here in the Holy Ghost. My brother died. I have cancer, I have pneumonia. And at first I said, Holy Ghost, please help us to come home with us and my family. And healing sickness, no more coronavirus. No more. I hate corona. People wear masks. I hate it. Because people have sick and die, home alone people. All the sweets, no food. Sick and die. And no pain. It's really hurt. The people have owned God, rest of God.
Thank you. Let me see. This is what we're talking about, where we're talking about flaming messengers and tireless workers. This is what we're talking about when we say somebody who's on fire for Jesus, who loves Jesus, who's not ashamed of Jesus, who's willing to declare the word of the Lord to encourage us. Father, I just thank you for my sister today. Lord, for her boldness for you, for her love for you. Lord, for her willingness to step out and to be used by you. I thank you, Lord, for this beautiful example that you have given us, Lord, of what a disciple really looks like. That, Lord, we don't necessarily have it all together. We don't necessarily have all the answers. We're not necessarily perfect. But we love Jesus and we love other people and we're not ashamed to do our part. And so, God, I ask that you bless my sister and help us, Lord. Help us all, Lord, to have that same kind of excitement and love to declare Jesus Christ boldly. Boldly. Come on, somebody say boldly. Boldly. Give us boldness, Lord, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'm going to ask our prayer team if you'll come down to the front. If you're here today and you need prayer for anything in your life, maybe you've already had prayer. Maybe God's already ministered to you. Praise the Lord. But maybe you didn't come earlier and you need to come now. We're here to pray for you because we know that God can meet the needs in your life. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this house. I thank you, Lord, for the signs and the wonders and the miracles that are taking place. I thank you for revival. I thank you, Lord, that we're a house of evangelism, but we're also a house of discipleship. And Lord, we ask your blessings on each one as we do our part that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer, come on down to the front. God bless you.